Blog Talk Radio.
I see the clouds. I step in. The word of God, we would
not get ourselves into a lot of things that we do. We would not be around certain people. We would not do certain things. And our lives would be much more peaceful. So, amen. I'm glad I'm here with you all tonight. I have a couple people that can introduce themselves and you know, whatever you'd like to say, go ahead and say hello.
Hey, guys. This is Jimmy. I've been on a long hiatus, so it's good to be back. You know, it's just it's been at least a couple months. We've just been busy here and there, taking care of errands and things like that. But it's good to be back. Amen.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is your boy Carl Reed here, back on the air. It's totally awesome to be back. You know, as my bro Jimmy just said, yeah, man, it's been a while, but you know, we're back, and you know, sometimes we do need that time to rest. Sometimes we do need that time to recuperate, you know, just take a time out, because you know, as Bella was saying, you know, we took that time out, and you know, the Lord was showing us stuff, and you know, a lot of things were happening, but you know, give God thanks. You know, we have a job to do. We might have taken a rest, but we did not give up. We did not stop. We're coming back full force. So yeah, let's get this show started. Amen.
Amen. So I figured tonight we would just, you know, fill everybody in and have a maybe a chill educational, you know, bonding thing. We're just fellowshipping tonight and we're sharing the things that we've gone through, the experiences we've had on this topic. And we've had so much experience with it lately that we feel we can tell you all something about it and maybe save you some gray hairs in the future or hair loss. So, I don't know. Tonight we're going to start with people externally. So, in other words, people we're not related to, maybe old friends from elementary school or, you know, exes or just people that periodically come into your life long enough to wreak havoc. And we know that the enemy comes to lie, cheat, and steal. His you know, he's the father of lies. The Bible has some scriptures on what these people are like, and if people are like that, then you know who their father is, right? And the Lord says by our fruits, you know, we'll be able to tell what each other is about. We'll be able to tell, is this person truly sold out to God or not?
Is this person genuine?
And it's very hard now in 2016, praise the Lord, we made it to another year. But in 2016, who keeps it real anymore? Who can you trust? You know, there's the issue of, even within the body of Christ, self-professing Christians, people who want to identify with Christ, but it's only in rituals or only in, you know, just saying, but just with lip service, basically. You know, the wolves in sheep's clothing and things like that that we need to look out for. We've all been victim of somebody claiming to be something that they're not. But it's it's horrible when it's within your own church, within your own, you know, your forever family. And we're expected to be exceptionally good to other members within the body. So we are without excuse. The Lord wants us to be on good terms with all people, to be at peace with all men. But how can we do that? Because not everybody's following the same manual. Not everybody's on the same program. Not everybody cares, really. Sorry to say it, but most people today care only about themselves. And it's funny because in the later days, the latter days, people will be what? Lovers of themselves. And this keeps getting brought up. And Lord's really just, you know, you pray for discernment, you pray for understanding, you pray for all these things, Lord. And you better expect Him to answer you. You say, the Lord's not answering me. And yet all hell's breaking loose around you. Can you not observe? Can you not learn something that the Lord is trying to teach you today? To make you wise, to equip you, and save you a future headache. So I'm going to allow the guys to share some stories, because you know what? We all have been going through so much that, hey, it's good for us to get it off our chest and, you know, share with people so that they can relate. And I know that all of you will relate, because unless you're living on another planet, there is somebody that bothers you consistently. And honestly, if you put your foot down, they no longer would be able to. And so that's the purpose of tonight's broadcast, is to build each other up and show each other signs, you know, because I believe the Lord wants to speak to people tonight about this issue, spotting mistakes and not bringing toxic people into your lives. Whether you're a believer or not, you can relate to this. And, you know, the Waywalkers have people who are believers and people who are not believers that follow the show, and that's cool. We love you all, and we would like your input. So if you have anything to say on the issue, you can go onto Facebook and in the search bar type in the Waywalkers group and just leave a comment. Leave a comment, ask to join the group, whatever, and we'll be happy to get back to you. If you'd like to write an email about it, maybe you're a little shy, maybe you don't use Facebook, we're waywalkersministry@gmail.com. So you have a few ways to get a hold of us, and we really want to hear from you because it helps us grow as people. You know, we want to be good people. Everybody claims to be a good person, right? But our actions need to match what we say and what we do. So go ahead, guys. I guess we'll go in the order that we announce ourselves. Jimmy, you can go first and share your story, then call, and then, you know, I'll chime in with my two cents.
So, amen. I can definitely say with experience, I mean, one of the most, I guess, messed up things about this, you know, just being around bad company, I mean, spiritually speaking, it's poisoning to relationships, it's poisoning to friendships, it's poisoning to members of the body. I mean, personally, me speaking, I've had people even within our own, you know, Waywalkers group who have, you know, betrayed us in a sense of making certain comments or asking for large sums of money from different kinds of people, trying to con them. We even had one of them, and it's you know, hard to say this, but it's true. We even had a pedophile, you know, and we don't endorse that kind of stuff, but fortunately we were able to, you know, find this person and get them out of the group. And this person was going to be someone that we were going to do, you know, business with. So one thing I can definitely say is, you know, praise the Lord that he's, you know, given us the discernment to be able to see these things, because this person could have continued, if we did business with him, it could have led to a mess, a cycle of troubles. For instance, the thing was going to be based in Laos, which is where he was. There were some suspicious things, some suspicious activity here and there concerning people on his Facebook. And I thought, I didn't think much of it. I started thinking a little bit more about it later on. As time went by, I started seeing a little bit suspicious things. Younger women being added to his page, and I questioned that, and this person gave me a different answer. It's kind of perplexing because I was going in circles as to maybe I should believe this brother, maybe I shouldn't, I don't know. So this kind of issue in general, it caused a lot of things within the body of the Waywalkers are, you know, in our group. It caused a lot of, you know, strife. It caused a lot of stress with this person. And yes, you know, fortunately we got him off. But the thing is, have we done business? Like I said, we have children of our own, Bella and I. We don't know what could have happened with our kids if, you know, had we left this person alone. You know, we had to think about things in the long run. So, yes, and I can use that scripture in that, in the context of that situation, that bad company does corrupt good morals, because had we had done something with that person, bad things could have come out of it. You know, child molestation is just big. You know, it's a huge thing. But, you know, there's also been issues with other people concerning you know, saying that, oh, well, this person is saved, this person isn't. We find out later on that this person, who was the leader of our group, basically was just was being hurtful towards other members, saying that they weren't saved, saying that just very, I don't know, it was strange, but it came back and it hit her a year later, where she is now involved in stripping and things like that. So, in a sense, I don't want to say that this is karma, because that's something I do not believe, but I do believe that when the Lord says, you know, vengeance is mine, I will repay. I do believe that, because this person, we did have a lot of trust in this person. This person ended up causing some troubles within the relationship between Bella and I, saying things back and forth and, you know, just things like that. And these are just prime examples of mine. Carl, you can go ahead and share some of your examples. You know, I know you have a couple things you might want to get off your chest.
Oh man. First and foremost, I'm going to talk about external issues. I do have some personal issues, you know. As I said before, way back, I'm the type of guy that had lots of friends going to school and whatnot, and then slowly but surely, you know, they all backed off. I started backing away because, you know, for me personally, like they're my friends, but at the same time they weren't really good people to hang around with, but you know, like it throughout the process of our friendship throughout the term, you know, they turned on me, they did some really cruel stuff to me, and you know, Over time, I just said, why bother? You know, why do I need these people in my life? If people are going to keep turning their backs on me, if people are going to be treating me a certain way, why do I need them in my life? I don't have the patience for that. So, you know, over time, it became very hard for me to be able to trust certain people, because, you know, that's something that I take very seriously. I take trust is something that I take seriously. And if you break that trust with me, then, you know, it's really a hard thing. So, as Jimmy was saying, you know, there have been people like within our ministry, within our body, that, you know, that we let in certain people, you know, we thought that they were on the up and up. We thought that they were good people, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start talking trash, they start talking this and that, starting up all this stuff, and you know, like, you know, it's like, you know, like why bother, you know? So, and on a personal level, like, yeah, while we were on our break and whatnot, yeah, I've been going through some personal issues of my own. I'm not gonna drop any names, but I mean, I live with two roommates here, and you know, it's not really, I, it's not, it's, how do I say it? It's like, you know, it's like sometimes it's not on the up and up. I'm just going to say that and leave that alone. It's not on the up and up, because, sometimes it's like, you know, like I want to be around them and reach out to them, it's like I can't because I don't trust them. Second of all, it's like, okay, like, you know, I just seeing how you're not on the up and up, I'm just gonna chill by myself, and I'm just gonna hang with my family, hang with Bella and Jimmy. You know, just hang with them, because, you know, like, Bella and Jimmy are like people that I trust. You know, I trust these two with my life. You know, and, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, if people want to say stuff about that, well, you know, that's too bad, but, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, Bella and Jimmy are people that I trust, because those two are my family, and you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, there's a lot more I can say, but I think Bella has something she wants to say, so I'm going to pass the mic on to her. Amen.
Amen, Carl. You pretty much said it. It's like that, and that's the way it is. There's some people that we're not going to get along with, but for some reason, we just feel like we have to try. You know, blessed are the peacekeepers. We're the true people of God, because we're trying to keep the peace. But what do you do when the people that are brought into your life, rather by God or by Satan, whatever the case may be, the Lord will use everything, but I mean, these people come into our lives, and we just don't like them. We find them to be annoying. They're always robbing our peace. We can't find any peace.
Yeah.
Maybe it affects the way that we sleep and the way that we live. Like, they find a way to leech into the system. Like, they're parasites. They're on your brain. And you know, the Bible says to love people, even love your enemies, and bless those who curse you, and you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, too bad these people, they love to use that against you, but these people don't practice what they preach. They think that we should practice it, but at the same time, they should be able to chronically use us and abuse us and basically try to lord over us and you know, take from us whatever we have, whether it be our peace or our joy or, you know, our status, or our husband or our wife, you know, whatever it is that they're seeking to lie, kill, steal, destroy. And we know that that's not of God, because God is what? God is good all the time. So he's not up to mayhem and chaos. He's quite the opposite. He's orchestrating all the chaos into something beautiful. And, you know, beauty for ashes, that's our God. But so what do we do when we have, you know, roommates that just, they're not our bag of tea. We don't like their flavor. And in some cases, these people can be, as we're going to talk on another day, they can be related, where you feel like you're kind of stuck with them. Or they can be just, you know, they can just be like, as I said earlier, an ex or an old friend from elementary school, or an acquaintance or a friend of a friend. You know, when you have a good friend that you really like, that you have no problems with, but they bring baggage along with them. They bring Larry, Curly, and Moe to the party, and now everybody's pulling out each other's hair. So these are just some of the things that all of us can relate to, and all of us go through. So whether you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, this is something we're all brothers and sisters in. of some of the things that I've got to go through recently, The wolves in sheep's clothing, I call them. These are the people coming in bringing division. These are the people out to destroy ministries. These are the big time people out to destroy marriages. I don't know what their purpose is. Maybe they're reprobates. Maybe, you know, they're just trolls, just bored with their lives. I don't know who you people are, but we definitely have several of them come our way since we started these broadcasts only like a year ago. You started in last March. So it didn't take them very long. To cause a little bit of a disturbance in the force for some of you nerds out there. One of these people, you know, it's always a random meeting over Facebook or over the internet, right? I want to rant about internet weirdos. There's so many of them, and they've been getting under my skin lately, so we might as well go there. This particular person, whose name is Peter, I'll leave at that. I want to talk about him because this is very touching to my own heart and personal to me. And I think we need to keep it real, which means we need to share the whole truth, whether it be good or whether we think it's bad or embarrassing. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Everything is gain in the hands of Jesus Christ. So we're putting this in the hands of Jesus Christ tonight. And you know what? Let him get fruit from this. But this person named Peter, he came in, you know, as a soft-spoken, intelligent person, an older man. He seemed, you know, on his Facebook, he seemed to love the Lord. All his posts, you know, were about God, were about his home country that he loves, and you know, just nice things. He would occasionally talk about God, and every time that we would talk, it would just, you know, be very friendly, which I appreciate because I tend to be somebody in the past, not so much anymore, but in the, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 months and then further into the past, people would always try to hit on me or, you know, proposition me online and stuff like that. So having a lot of perverts and creepos on my block list, which is very long. It was a relief, you know, maybe this guy's older, he loves more, and we can relate. Eventually, over time, I invited him to the Way Walkers chat and talked with all the friends. We were just starting out business ideas. It's all in the beginning stages, so it's very fresh, it's very exciting. We're wanting to do the work of the Lord, serve the Lord, praise God. That's hopefully what all of us want to do. But this guy, you know, he comes in as a friend. Then he's trying to take control of the whole thing. He's trying to organize and order and tell everybody. And several of the members are like, you know what? We're just going to leave this to Bella. This is Bella's thing. And, you know, she's doing all right with it. So, you know, thank you. But tone it down, basically, is what they were saying in very nice, friendly, you know, words to the new guy. And I just thought this guy was very eager to help because he was trying to find connections to help get our merchandise, our clothing and stuff that we make, which is for the cause, you know. The Lord puts things in our hearts. We want to fulfill them. We want the Lord to get glory. We want to help other believers. We want to help the widows and the orphans. We want to help, you know, the other brothers and sisters that, you know, are struggling. So this person decides that he wants to get in on it and basically try and get his way into the business. So we're thinking, okay, well, we can incorporate you into the plan. You seem like a cool guy. You're knowledgeable in the Lord. You know, let's make some plans for this to happen. And then over time, we come to find out, oh, well, this guy's starting to tell me, well, actually, he's homeless. Whoa, plot thickens. What do you mean you're homeless? He claimed he was from Laos, but he was in South Africa, in Cape Town or whatever. I'm like, what are you doing? He gave me the sob story, which is basically he went there to help his year-old mother to sell her property, And she had promised to buy him a ticket there, see, because he only bought a one-way ticket. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's your, you know, that's your mom. That could have been anybody. It could happen to anybody getting stranded. Oh, you poor thing, basically, because I don't want to believe that people are con artists and liars. I really, really don't. I don't want to believe that people are just BSing me. Sorry, mind my Canadian French, but BSing me. And this guy gave me a whole 12-inch BS sandwich. But as the story continues, he's stranded now, and he's homeless. He has nowhere to go. He's out of money. He's wandering place to place using Wi-Fi, and all he has is his cell phone, and he's carrying around a suitcase of his only belonging. So the story gets more pitiful and more pitiful. And I'm a type of person, God bless me to be able to once in a while, you know, I'm not rich or nothing, but I give. I don't have a problem giving. And my heart is for helping people in need. I have a big soft spot for homeless people. I have a soft spot for the elderly even. So, you know, I feel like this was a big test for me, and so it is. And as the relationship continues, I end up sending this person, not to blow my own trumpet for any of you out there who, you know, allowed that thought into your mind. We're going to rebuke that now. And let's just carry on. Now he's in need, and I'm sending him money because I'm sending in U.S. dollars. I'm in Canada, so for anybody who doesn't know, it's basically about 30 cents on the dollar in conversion. So I'm sending him money. So as much as I can, you know, I also have my own children, my own bills, my own everything. But as much as I can, you know, sacrifice him, I would give to him because I was like, oh, no, that's horrible that, you know, he said he went to churches because I asked him, well, why don't you go to some local churches or something and tell them your story and see if they'll help you. Oh, they won't help me. I've already been to them. You know, I'm hopeless and helpless and I'm feeling suicidal. It's funny how these people are always suicidal. They want you to feel bad. They want you to think they're the victim. And you'll see this pattern in these people. They're actually controlling. They're very abusive. They usually have huge tempers, especially once they're exposed. So these are signs you can look for to know if you're being basically used by somebody who is a bad person or a toxic person. But so as the story goes on, Peter, you know, he's talking with us every day. He's sending us images of flowers and images of places around him, telling me stories like, oh, all these people try to rob me. I don't have any more money, so I'm going to have to sleep outside. I slept in somebody's car. Tonight I'm sleeping inside. He actually said he was sleeping inside of a morgue.
Cemetery
for
dogs.
For dogs, for pets, or whatever, because that's the only place that the person had for him to stay.
That's a good sewer.
And I was like, well, that's very terrible. It truly does sound terrible. Most people would not give a flying, you know what, but they, you know, that's your problem. Or they would say, okay, well, I'll just pray for you, and, you know, God will provide for you, because won't he? He does. But people use this as an excuse not to help people, and that's not what I'm about. I'm about doing what I say. I'm trying to follow Christ here. I'm not trying to cause shame or trying to cause any more stains, you know? So I'm sending this person money. And then finally I have some money, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to buy your ticket back to Laos. Basically, $800 and some odd, okay? $800 and some to get this person to Laos. Yeah, and he actually, now that I think about it, he was telling me that I needed to buy a two-way ticket there and back. And I said, well, why do you need a ticket back? And he said, because the cops out here, or, you know, the people, if you're taking a flight out, and you don't have a return ticket, they might not let you go. And I was like, well, That's strange, and I'm only paying one way. You know, take it or leave it, that's all I can afford.
He's a resident there. That's confusing, because he says he's from Laos, and if you're from Laos, you're a resident of Laos.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of confusing, but at that point, I thought he was a trusted person, because we talked to him over spans of several months, like daily. And there became, you know, he was very happy. It was a good feeling, you know. I felt, yeah, it was a test. Whether I was ripped off or not, it's still the Lord's testing. You know, he sees our heart and he sees what the intentions are. And unfortunately, he's testing Peter as well. And Peter invited some things into his life that he really shouldn't have by his own action. So he gets there. And eventually, you know, praise God for discernment. We really should pray for discernment more and receive all of that in Jesus' name. Because had we been skeptical, had we had, you know, the armor on, I think many of us Christians don't have any armor on. We're just, you know, we think we're David. We're out there and all we got is a slingshot. That's all we need is the rock, right? But we don't think before we run into battle. We don't, you know, we don't ask God. We don't consult the Holy Spirit over these issues. We just think, oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing something good. So, you know, yay me. This is the Christian life. So this person got a free trip. And then when he was there, he actually even got a couple more $100 out of me for food, because, oh, I got to stay in a hostel. You know, I'm looking for a job. Praise the Lord. Things are a little better for me. Over time, because of discernment, my husband, Jimmy, he just had this bad feeling about him. And I was like, well, I don't know. I like him, but this is a little bit strange. And so I let him do his thing. The Lord gifted him. He's basically like a detective. He's a human lie detector. And so he went and he just opened himself up. You know, we used the trolls' plans for our benefit this time. He created a fake account with Mandy Moore, okay? Anybody from America knows who Mandy Moore is, except for this guy, because he's from South Africa or Laos, whatever. We still don't know where he's from. Citizen of another planet. But this person, we come to find out that he is the pedophile, okay? And we're going to explain why he's the pedophile, because we're not into slander on the show. Everything we're saying is 100% real, 100% tested, mm-hmm. completely real. We don't make nothing up on this show. Telling the truth is very important to all of us. It's detrimental to our faith and everything that we are. But this guy, he requested to add Mandy first. We didn't even have to, throw out bait. He was jumping into the boat. He was a piranha jumping into the boat. We didn't even have to, like, put out the reel. No bait, nothing. But so this obviously fake account. He starts talking, saying, how he's asking how old you are, and asking to see pics. Okay, and what did you say, babe? You said you were 16 at first.
Yeah, and then because
he had a lot of friends on his Facebook of teenage Asian girls, mostly, and even preteens, like 15, 16, 17, just young girls practically naked in their underwear and stuff like that. And we were like, this is not the image. You know, we're not very judgy people. We just try to stick to the scriptures, try and live in love the best that we can and give people the benefit of the doubt. But in this case, that was one of the strange things that I had confronted him about earlier. Saying, do you have a problem with perversion? Do you have sexual immorality? Do you have lust issues? No. Oh, well, why you got all these half-naked girls as your friends on Facebook? Oh, well, somebody was using my account and added them. It wasn't me. All right. if you say so. You know, I'm not judging you. I'm your friend. The problem is, like, I'll pray with you, and we can counsel and stuff like that. But you know that if you are into little girls, then you can't be in business with us. I mean, it's he would obviously know that, hopefully. So after this lie was exposed, the fact that he wants to see pics, even after Jimmy had said that he's 16, okay, we send him the picture, a couple pictures, thanks to Google. You know, I'm thanking God for Google, because actually there's a lot of good things, as well as there are bad things, but the Lord can use them all. And in this case, Mandy Moore's bikini pictures, praise the Lord for those, because we found a pedophile. So we send this guy a picture, and some of you, there's nothing wrong with 16-year-olds. Okay, well, we made it a little better after he said, oh, you are hot and sexy. You're a hot and sexy 16-year-old in a bikini. Where is this man of God right now? Okay?
Uh-huh.
And sure, we've all done scandalous things. But some of us grow up and learn and repent and give over that provision to God, and some of us try to sweep under the carpet. But the Lord said, what's hidden in the dark is going to be revealed in the light. You can't hide. You can't. But this guy, okay, so he's asking for more pictures. And then he says, well, actually, I'm 13 years old. And he was not fazed whatsoever. He actually continued to demand. He began to, at that point, demand that, why aren't you talking to me? Why aren't you, you know, getting really strange about it, like, controlling and obsessive. And saying, well, don't worry, you know, I won't tell anybody on you. I'll kidnap you. And we have this conversation, too. This is a saved screenshot, whatever, confrontation and everything. And we know that this was him talking to us. When he was confronted, he basically said it wasn't me thing. It wasn't me. But we know that was him because we only had maybe 10 minutes to find photos, make a fake Facebook account before he added us. We were just talking to him. He was just asking us, Jimmy, to make a collage for him of his, you know, his fiance, because she was mad at him because of all the girls he has, thinking that maybe he's cheating or something like that. But no, I'm not. I want to marry this woman, blah, blah, blah. How nice, praise the Lord, that he goes from being homeless to now he's engaged and he's getting married. Okay, that's new. Does your fiance know that you think a 13-year-old is hot and sexy? And that he says that he is going to, oh, don't worry, if you're a good girl, I'll kidnap you, was his comment. And I quote unquote. But so this guy, and we're sitting here, I'm just shocked. I said absolutely nothing to him. I was just watching it unfold. I was just watching the Holy Spirit do his thing and basically expose this guy, skeletons and all, the closet, you know, the lights went on in the closet. All the roaches poured out. All the flies, you know, you could see it all. And so the confrontation comes, and he denies it all. And, of course, we know, oh, well, somebody stole my old cell phone. Yeah, somebody stole my cell phone. You know that. I told you somebody stole my cell phone. Well, Peter, how are you on Facebook talking to us right now? Mr. I'm staying in a hostel and only have my cell phone to communicate. Okay, there's lie number one. Then he decides to throw me under the bus, because these people love to do that. They have to tear somebody down so that they can stay afloat. They'll drown you so that they don't drown a little longer. And so he tried to say that he gave me his Facebook password, which is a complete lie. When I first met him, he liked the show and the broadcast, and he said, go ahead, use my wall. Post your, you know, you can tag me, you can post your stuff on my wall. I'll promote you, because I had shoes that I was creating. I had clothing and styles. You know, we were beginning a business. And this guy was just like, cha-ching, trying to get in on it, right? And so he had the nerve to say he gave me his password, which is a complete lie. What would I want with your Facebook? He basically was accusing me of adding all those little Asian girls, and he basically was accusing me of having this conversation with so-called Mandy Moore. The nerve. The nerve of some people.
Uh-huh.
But hopefully you all can learn from this lesson. There are perverts and liars out there. You can't trust people online. You need discernment. There's so many times scam artists, we've done a past show on it. Click on it in the archives. Please do. The Waywalkers, you can look us up on blogtalkradio.com, and you'll find a whole whack of rants and posts and just interesting things.
Unfortunately, like I said, the reason why we even say these things and putting their names out is because these people had a sense, because they were in leadership. So them being in leadership, they basically were saying that, okay, I'm this, I'm that, I'm of Christ, I'm of, you know. But at the same time, they're hiding a lot of things that, if exposed, will damage, and eventually it did get exposed, and it did damage some of the ministry. It did damage some people's emotions. And like I said, you know, earlier, but I didn't reveal any names earlier, Peter was the pedophile, that person that I was talking about earlier. There was another one, as I was explaining, person named Alex. This one, she was a dynamic, charismatic, you know, I don't mean charismatic in the sense of a charismatic Pentecostal thing. I mean charismatic as in she was joyful, she was jubilant, you know, she seemed like she was all for the Lord and nothing else.
Woman of God, completely.
Yeah. And as time goes by, you know, some things here, we start seeing a little bit of control issues going on. Some things going on in her saying that she's going to leave the ministry or take a break. And somehow along the way, she's saying that there are, you know, people in the Waywalkers that aren't saved because they haven't been, I guess, baptized. I'm not sure what the issue was, but
filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, filled with the Holy Ghost. She was basically saying that we weren't saved. I'm sorry, but she is not Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So she cannot make that judgment. Because if that she is, you know, she even tried to claim leadership and ownership of the the page, and that rightfully does not belong to her. It rightfully belongs to my wife.
Mm.
It belongs to her. And she put a lot of things under her name. Alex put a lot of things under her own name through using Waywalker style.
She touched PayPal accounts to even get the measly same show to broadcast the time of name.
Yeah.
That was a shock.
And there are even times where, you know, Bella had a cell phone and she had a little contract with Alex, where Bella would send money to Alex because they were really good friends around this time. We didn't really, you know, there wasn't really that much of an issue around that time. So Bella sending her money for the cell phone, the bill paid off, and we kind of find out later on, when things are going bad, like months later, that she had not been using that money. She had for the cell phone, she'd been using the money for something else, because the bill came out to be somewhere around $400, $500, $600, something around. It was a ridiculous amount of money. But Bella would always send her what was needed. And like I said, you know, we trust these people, and this is also a lesson in discernment, as, you know, Bella was saying. This is a lesson for us in discernment. We have to, you know, be really watchful around who we let in our group.
Mm-hmm.
But needless to say, she had done a lot of damage towards me personally as well. You know, I had a lot of infirmities at one point, and I had used marijuana as a pain reliever because I didn't want to take Oxycontin or hydrocodone, anything like that, any pain medications. I was induced with, I had a lot of pain. I went to the hospital. They asked me if I wanted medication. I said no. so I smoked marijuana, and I confessed. So I said, of course, yeah, you know, I smoke because I, you know, have these pains and these terrible aches and things like that. And she was basically saying, oh, well, you're not saved then, or you're not this, you know, you are the devil. So just completely judging me. Then she was demonizing me and basically saying, posting on her Facebook that drugs are bad. You know, this, if, you know, if you need drugs, be sure that it's from a doctor. And I'm over here kind of like, what's going on? I didn't say anything to her. I didn't do anything wrong to her. Very argumentative. And this caused a lot of strife with me emotionally because, personally speaking to me, about me, you know, I can be an emotional person. And things do get to me. From past experiences, you know, I'm not really going to get delve into that. That's up to the subject. But, you know, but to put me on blast like that, it was extremely, you know, discomforting because I was kind of like, I had this impression that she was, you know, understanding, you know, a sister, someone I could talk to. But it just flew right into my face. And eventually a lot of people, you know, were, you know, not a lot of people, but a few people in our group were kind of looking at me funny, you know, people were becoming less trustworthy towards me in a sense.
Thinking that you're the problem.
Exactly.
You're the one causing all the problems in the group.
Exactly. And then, like I said, after all this, we come to find out this whole, that's when we find out the phone bill issue. We find out a bunch of other things. She's having this kind of this love affair triangle thing with her cousin, with Bella's cousin, not even saved whatsoever. And she's having all these sexual talks, and she even took the idea of the soapbox from him.
He created the soapbox. He wanted to have an AC/DC theme where he could have a deist? What's the technical word?
Yeah, he claims to be a deist. Or at that time, he claimed to be a deist.
Yeah, at the time, he was a deist, and she was a Christian, so they were going to go and have some weird talk show. Behind our back, she told us nothing about this. She didn't tell me she was after my cousin. He was very, you know, I love him. He's very interesting. And
wow.
We get along with kinds of people. We get along with all kinds of people in the Weight Watchers ministry, and we just love people. Some people are happy being reprobates, and, you know, Lord infiltrate their lives wherever possible at any time. Just Holy Spirit ambush them in the name of Jesus. But it is what it is. He now is like he's a full-scale atheist now. And no longer a theist. His opinions have changed after a few science podcasts and what have you. But, you know, whatever, everyone has the right to believe what they want to believe. But in this case, she had the hots for him. But to us, she was saying that, she's abstaining and she's trying to be holy and she's betrothed to somebody, which I even gave her $200 so she could go to New York for this so-called wedding that was supposed to happen, which was as she wanted it. She didn't want the government in her business or to have anything over her marriage because God ordains a marriage, not the government, and blah, blah, blah. Whatever her bit was, basically she wanted to go fornicate, I guess, and did, and claim that she was married. It was a complete sham wedding. After she got married, she informed us that her husband had encouraged her to drop out of the Weight Watchers group. And so she caused a stink over Jimmy's medicinal marijuana use, saying he's my brother, you know, he's causing problems, and she can't have her name associated with this. Did several rants and posts, private messages to people. Even she messaged one of my best friend, trying to tell her something about me, which she confronted me and told me that this person, I was completely shocked at everything that had unfolded. People telling me that she said, I'm not fit to run a ministry, that I have mental issues and I'm crazy. But yet I wasn't crazy when she asked me for $200 in her time of need. In fact, she was saying that I'm her kid's auntie, and, you know, love you, sis, and all this BS. BS. And so here you have it, people. These are a few examples of some confusion, some webs that we get caught in. We're just trying to walk along, you know, and mind our business. And, you know, and everything hits us. And what it does, it distracts us. It takes our focus off of God. It takes our focus off of what matters and the path that we're on, and leads us to emotional snares. And, you know, its plot is for destruction. Whatever the devil can squeeze out of us, whatever inch of our lives we're going to submit to him is one less inch that we've submitted to Christ. And he can continue to meddle in our affairs. That door is wide open. You open the doors for these people. They're like vampires. Vampires don't just walk into your house and eat you. They wait for you to invite them into your personal space, into your safe zone. And that's what the devil does. He finds back doors. He goes around. He's a thief. He looks for a window. And so praise God that he can open the doors that nobody can shut, and he can shut the doors that nobody can open. And we really need him to get rid of these toxic people out of our lives. And, you know, it might hurt when the Holy Spirit exposes. You know, you might feel a little bit stupid. That's okay, because you can grow from it. The thing is to not repeat, to be watchful, to be looking. We have to protect the flock. We have to protect the people within the gates. We have to protect our family. And so we can't take in every beggar, everybody off the streets, because you know what? The money that I gave to Peter, the money that I gave to Alex, the money that, you know, has consistently been hacked, robbed from my account even, I don't even know how a lot of the stuff happened that has happened could happen with passwords and security and all that. But, you know, the Lord is good. But the thing is the money that I spent to them, I could have been sending to the orphanage in Uganda. I could have been sending to somebody who truly was in need. So that's the thing. We can't slit our own throat. We can't bleed to death for other people. We can't allow other people to take, you know, the Lord is blessing us, but in most cases we're putting it all on the wrong people. We're putting it all in the wrong places. And this is really just truly about discernment. So, Carl, if you have scriptures or anything you want to add, now is a good time to do that.
All right, cool. I got lots of scriptures right here in front of me, but I'm just gonna read two real quick. The first one is taken from Romans 16, verse 17. And it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Avoid them." Mm-hmm. That's a very serious thing right there. The second one I'm going to read is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 and 15. Says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now I chose those two specific scriptures because those really stood out to me, especially 2 Corinthians 6 verses 14 and 15, you know, and you know, it's basically asking like what purpose has light, what communion has light with darkness? I say it lots of times, like light and darkness. They don't go together. Good and evil, they don't go together. You know, good people, you know, good people, like, you know, with bad people, they don't go together. Although sometimes, you know, as we all said tonight, we let people into our lives. We trust them with our heart, you know. We trust them. We believe that they're all right, and then all of a sudden, they turn and they stab us in the back, and they try to, you know, defame our name. They try to say stuff about us, you know, and it's, you know, it's very discouraging, and it's very wrong. And, you know, for me personally, the thing with Alex, you know, I still take that personally, you know, because I was in the middle of doing a broadcast. I was in the middle of doing my very first soapbox. I was in the middle of doing a broadcast, and, you know, she started, all of a sudden, you know, things started. She started, you know, doing her thing and whatnot, and it was very distracting and whatnot. And I sit here and think about it now, and, you know, it's like, you know, like there was no need for that. You know, there's no need to come at Jimmy like that. There's no need, you know, to do what she did, you know. And, you know, as I said, you know, I still, you know, I kind of forgotten about it, but at the same time, I take personally, because, you know, as I said before, you know, Bella and Jimmy, they're my family. And, you know, if you say something against my family, then, you know, we're gonna have a bit of an issue, you know. Now in regards to my situation here, as I said before, you know, I live with two roommates who I barely trust. You know, I'm just gonna come out and be real about it. You know, I live with two roommates that I barely trust right now, and it's like, Lord, what, Lord? You know, what do I do? You know, what do you want me to do? Like, you know, I have this thing about people, you know, like when I meet someone, it's like, you know, part, like, sometimes it's like, you know, yeah, we gel, we get off on a good note, everything's cool, you know. And then at other times, and for some reason, I don't know what it is exactly, but at other times, there's like, you know, I may come across a person, I may meet them, and, you know, it's like right away, I don't like you. I don't know why, but it's like, there's just this gut feeling that I get. It's like, you know, I don't like you. Like, I don't trust you. I don't like you, you know. Over time, when I have that feeling about a person or a certain individual, over time, I get to see their true colors. I get to see who they are, and, you know, unfortunately for me, it turns out that I was right all along. But I thank God for Bella and Jimmy, because these two, as I keep saying, you know, these two are my family. These two are like, you know, it's just a good feeling I get about them. So, you know, these two are my family, you know, I love them, and, you know, that's just it. I could go on, but I mean, like, that's just it.
Amen.
Hey man, the whole thing about this is not to place, you know, it's not about, because of course we're all, and we're not perfect, but at the same time in the Bible, it does talk about, you know, about judging other believers, you know, whenever they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Now, when we judging, you know, it's not talking about, you know, in the sense of, you're fatter, you're this, or, you're... It's actually like, brother, like, or, sister, this is what's going on. You know, and even Paul says, you know, to you know, hand them over to Satan, you know, that, you know, they may be reproved. And in a sense, yes, you know, this is, you know, I feel like this is what's going on with these people's lives, because ever since they've been, you know, exposed for what they are and who they are, you know, their lives have been, honestly, they've been a complete wreck. You know, but the thing is, they haven't been repentant. There isn't any repentance in their life. For instance, Alex, she's doing her own pornography thing. She's doing her own, her own scandalous whatever she's doing. Everything is just sexual completely. You know, she's had a complete 180. At the same time, yes, we should be sympathetic towards these people, but at the same time, we must be watchful. We can't let these people in to our homes because they are homewreckers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are. They're spiritual homewreckers is what they are. So not only that, but they're spiritually, you know, wrecking relationships, but they're wrecking other things. So what do you do when someone's wrecking one of your things? You take them away from that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when someone is trying to, you know, for instance, attack you? What do you do back? You attack back, you know? That's what you do. It's you know, self-defense. And in the same sense, that's how we should be towards with the kingdom. You know, we have to be defensive as to who we're allowing in. And like I said, it's not about being perfect or anything like that, but it's about, you know, ultimately, it's about, you know, the fruits. Now, are you repentant? Do you hate your sin? Do you hate it so much that you would rather, you know, you would rather die than keep doing it? But rather, it's these people, you know, who had strong ties to us. We trusted them with everything. We give them our all, trust or everything, and it's, you know, unfortunately it got turned back to us. But at the same time, like I said before, now they're facing their own things. They're facing their own, and I'm not joyful, of course, about it, but it's the judgments of the Lord. You know, what goes around comes around. This is true. What goes around comes around. And I'm not saying I don't believe in karma whatsoever. I'm not, I just don't. I do believe the saying, what goes around comes around, because it ultimately is true.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people's lives, they're just absolutely shattered and ruined as a result of them trying to shatter and ruin other people's lives. And like I said, I'm also not for eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But at the same time, the Lord does say, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We did not do anything to these people. We did not, you know, go on a rant and attack them online or anything like that. We didn't do anything to them. The Lord handled it for us. They're facing their own things as a result of their own fruits, as a result of what, you know, what they did wrong. They're facing, you know, the punishments of those things. So, like I said, I do feel very sympathetic, but we can't let, you know, thieves and we can't let robbers into our homes.
Right.
So that's my conclusion, but there will be more. There's more to be said on that subject, but I will go ahead and pass on the mic.
Oh, yeah, man, there's a lot to be said.
Thanks, guys. You know what? I'm gonna take this moment to read something for you guys real quick. You know what? The Word of God is life. I challenge anybody. For anything you're going through in life, you can find the answer for it. You can find the reason for it. You can find the prescription to whatever ails you in the Holy Bible. Yay, King James Version. There is 23 Bible verses about bad company. Yay. You can find it. You can find it on bible.knowing-jesus.com. And here we go. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, in other words, a self-proclaiming follower of Christ, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. Don't even eat with them. You're not going out to lunch with them. You're not going to go sit with them at a matinee or feed the ducks at the pond with them. Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Oh, everybody knows these people who talk a lot of, they talk a lot of foolishness. They're not really, the things that they say do not make sense to you. The stories that they tell you, this scar I have on my chest, I was shot one time. But the truth is that when they were a kid, they had an accident, they slipped and fell, and they skinned themselves on, you know, like a fence or something. It was not even a gunshot. It was just them trying to be hardcore, make a big deal. Psalms 1:1-4. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, basically who doesn't get their advice from unsaved worldly people, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know what that means, trying to protect sinners from having to be convicted and having to repent, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The people who care about the Lord and what he's saying and what he wants, get your advice from them, but of course not the scornful. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Oh, reaping and sowing today. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This person is prosperous because the Lord is with them and blessing them. Proverbs 22:24-25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. What? So me hanging out with angry freaks of nature, steroid monkeys, I can't do that, even though I think that's so cool that they can express themselves? That's no good. The Bible can't be saying that, because you know, Jesus sat with, you know, prostitutes and tax peoples and stuff, and so that's not true. Proverbs 4:14-15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Flee it. Do not go with the bad guys. Don't try to get in a relationship with the misunderstood gangster. His fashion sense is horrible, by the way. We like to tell him to put their pants up. It's not about modesty. It's just it doesn't make any sense to wear a belt when your pants are down your knees. It's foolishness. Proverbs 16:29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. See, these violent people, they tend to be controlling, they tend to be abusive, but they don't show their fangs until after they got you eating out of their hands. You know, Proverbs 28:7, whoso keepeth the law is the wise son, but he that is a companion of a riotous man shames his father. You're an embarrassment. Even your family is embarrassed of you. You're one of these people. You need to repent. You need Jesus Christ. Micah 6:16. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. The Lord has a problem with people who are like these people that we're not supposed to be around. And he says that he will destroy them. If they don't repent, you are an enemy of God. So why would you want to hang out with an enemy of God? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Matthew 24:12.
You stay away from the world too.
Yeah, come out of the world, lest you share in its punishment. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we see that today. We see a lot of people, they don't care about love anymore. Everybody's just doing what they want to do. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, which is what we're doing tonight, marking a few of them, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Oh, well, we should just restore such a one in faith, okay? People love to take the scriptures and try to use it to justify and back themselves up and avoid having to be the bad guy. But the fact is that when somebody is found doing things like this, ripping people off, being con artists, leading a double life where on one hand they're a woman of God and on the other hand they're like a hustler, gangster chick, like, you know, her man is in prison and, you know, the struggle is real. You know, on one hand saying that she's not for prejudices and she's not for black and white and all that crap. And then on the other hand, well, that's white favoritism right there. You know, all her posts, white privilege, and, you know, it's a complete night and day thing. We need to not be around these people, and we shouldn't shame them. You know what? You try to deal with things in private. When things don't get dealt with in private, what do? You have to go to the council. When they still don't want to repent and make things better, you have to mark such a one. You can't keep allowing these people to dilute the work of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord he's not sharing his temple with Satan, with Belial. 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship righteousness with unrighteousness? And this is basically what you were reading, Carl. And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You know, it's kind of like, if you want to think of it for the visual people out there, think of a chariot or a wagon, and you have two horses, and the horses, maybe one is a pony and one, you know, is just a regular horse, much faster than the other one. The sizes don't match. They don't get along. They pull in different directions. You're not going anywhere. It's quite a headache. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, some of you want to call it judging. Go ahead if that's what you want to call it, if that's what helps you avoid paying the piper. And coming clean and living a holy life before God, reprove them. When we're in the faith, the ones who've been in it longer, the ones that are supposed to be wise, the ones that have seen things and done things and know things, well, obviously there's different levels in the faith. There are elders and then there's babes in Christ, okay? Everybody needs to be dealt with a certain way. But the Lord corrects the ones that he loves. And if somebody's in danger, if a brother has, you know, don't judge, don't take the speck out of your own eye, when, you know, the speck out of your brother's eye, when you got a 2x4 sticking out of your eye, sort of, yeah, you got the whole forest sticking, you know, you think they're eyelashes, but they're like pine trees or something. But, you know, we have to reprove one another with the word of God, not with our own shallow opinions or our own perception or our own version of holiness, but by the actual holy word of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. So in other words, anybody who is not doing what's prescribed here is not a brother, and we're not walking with you. We're not doing business with you. We're not being in relations with you. We're not even going to meet up for Christmas dinner with you. You know? That's what the Bible says to treat people like. You know, oh, you should be good people. You should love people. You know, that's not very nice. Well, we're not here to be nice. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness, goodness, gentleness. But it doesn't say let people use you. You let people walk all over you. Let people control your life. Your life is in the hands of Jesus Christ. He is the one that has, you're supposed to be giving him the reins. We are the ponies, and he is the one driving the chariot. That's how it's supposed to be. We are on the path for his purposes. And when it becomes a selfish thing, lust of the flesh, you cannot produce the work of the Spirit. So you need to be reproved, and you have to tell these people boldly in your face, John the Baptist style, brood of vipers, look at you people. And that is what the Lord expects. We're not to pat people on the back and say, it's okay. You know, we're not Joel Osteen in here. 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Did you hear that? Joel Osteen. Perverse disputings of men and corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Prosperity pimps. Don't have anything to do with these people either. They're corrupt. They're greedy. You know, we've seen it, but yet people keep sending their money to Peter Popoff, thinking they're going to get a blessing and break that that curse, break off that demon of poverty or something by putting a seed into my ministry. You don't have enough money, really, to do the things that you need to do in your own life, but if you send me a love offering of $50, you know, the Lord will see that. He will bless your finances, and here are some people that the Lord has blessed through my program, and the people caught into that web. And then 5:22. I'm almost done. There's a few more. These are really, you know, the word is life, like I said, and this is good for all of us. This is kind of in a way a Bible study too. Why not? Lay hands suddenly, no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure.
Keep thyself pure.
Now that's a questionable one. What does that mean? Lay your hands suddenly on no man, but yet we have everybody just walking around in churches saying, I'm laying my hands on you, praise the Lord. But what does that mean? Don't be a partaker of other men's sins. You know, many times if other people are struggling with things and we become friends with them, we think, well, that person's a Christian and that person does this. That person does that. We try to justify ourselves on a scale of good and bad, 1 to 10. I'm not as bad as that person, so I'm just do a little bit over here. Don't have any part. Don't take on their sins. You have enough of your own that Christ is working to cover. He's covered them, but we keep getting into trouble, and we have to keep backtracking, and we don't need to get ourselves further back. We want to go ahead in Christ, not behind. 2 Timothy 3:4, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Those are bad company. Those are bad people. 2 Peter 2:7, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. Lot was brought out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, most of you are familiar with the story. If not, you can find it in the Bible.
Genesis.
It's in Genesis. And we did that Bible study, too, so you can look back into the archive if you are unfamiliar with Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a really good broadcast, too, by the way. Just the conversations of bad people. Factory talk. Have any of you worked in a factory or a construction job? You know what I'm talking about. Revelation 2:2. There's just two more. Revelation 2:2. I know thy work and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, such as Teddy, who is not an evangelist but actually a salesperson, we talked about him on the scammers one, and his bit was send me $100 US. Always $100 US to some random place into Zambia. So, guys, I don't know if you want to throw any last words in or whatever's on your heart to speak about. Go ahead and do that now. Carl, anything, any last words?
Pretty much it's all laid out here. We all talked about, we all, you know, got off what we wanted off our chest. You know, this is something that we take seriously. You know, talking about being part of bad company and how to stay away from it. And you know, as I said before, you know, sometimes it's hard to know who is who until their true colors show. You know, sometimes we put our trust and our love in someone, and then the next thing they're talking ill of us. You know, it's just something that you have to be careful of. I mean, we talk about the whole judging thing. Don't judge me. But at the same time, that same individual that's quoting that line, don't judge me. Feels it's okay to go around and judge other people, but at the same time they don't know anything about them. They don't know who they are, where they're from, and to me it just doesn't make it. I've said this before. To me it makes no sense at all. It makes no sense at all whatsoever. So, from my personal standpoint, you know, I've learned, you know, and it's sometimes hard for me to say, but sometimes you can't trust everybody. And you know,
right.
there are close people that I do trust, and unfortunately for me, it's only a very small handful of people that I can say that yeah, I trust you. You know, if you want something from me, you know, don't be afraid to come to me and ask. I will help you. You know, I will take you here. I will bring you there. I'll help you in whatever capacity I can. You know, only a small few people that I can say that to. There's only a small amount, but at the same time it's okay because you know, for me personally, I rather have like a small group of friends, or I rather be a part of a small group than rather be a part of a big multitude of people and get lost in the shuffle, or be a big part of a multitude of people that pretend to be my friends and pretend to be on my side, and in reality they're not. So that's just my final take on the show tonight. I'm pretty sure if we do a part two, I'll probably have some more instances for y'all. But you know, be well, have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Amen. Thanks, Carl, for being on the show. You know what? He's my bro, and he's the bestest of friends. You know. He's the best man at my wedding with Jimmy Garcia here. I know sometimes you heard me announce myself as Christabel Drummond. Forgive me, I'm new. I'm new, but this is proof that if we just wait on the Lord and we pray and we work on perseverance and self-control and being humble, being watchful, taking responsibility for our own lives, for our actions, for the things we say, for the things we do. We're accountable to the Lord because the Lord put his name on us. He vouched for us. We work for him. We need to learn the hierarchy here. Oh, he's my friend. Oh, Christ is my brother. He's my buddy. He's my homie. But yeah, he's your boss. He's your master. I don't know. I don't have the sources on me to tell you how the scale goes. But in every part of life, there is somebody above you and there's somebody below you. We can see that even in the natural world. So it's our responsibility.
It's called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It shows that he's above everyone, as is rightfully, his.
Right. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Glory. There's nothing above him. the world is his footstool. He kicks his leg up on all our problems and says, I got all this. If you just would let me do my job, let me do what I do, I can handle this. But, there's a manual. There's, when you become a trainee or a new employee, there's guidelines. There's policies and procedures. There's health and safety. There's a huge textbook of stuff that we have to learn. Even to work at Tim Hortons, I had to spend, several hours on this computer in the back office, and that was my training, on everything possible. And it's much the same. The Lord trains us, and this is training. We're in the field. Yeah, we're being refined, trials of fires, and check out those broadcasts too, because you will learn a lot. You will learn a lot if you just listen to what the Spirit would have to say, and the Lord's speaking through so many people, young and old, and just every kind of people, and he's basically calling us to come to our common sense, turn a light switch on and look around and see what's in your house. Are there thieves and robbers in your house? Get rid of them. You're going to sympathize with the person that wants to break in and tie you up and basically have his way with your family. Families are declining. People are being divorced. Horrible things are happening within Christian, you believe them to be Christian homes even. And it's tragedy. It's horrible sometimes the things that you find out about people. You thought that they were upscale people. And part two, that's what we'll talk about. We will talk about the people that hide behind, the corrupt people that hide behind the pulpit, behind religion. They're sitting on the pew next to you, but they go home and they punch their wives out. They're abusing people. They're scammers. They're all these people. We're going to talk about family members that we are stuck with that I mentioned earlier. Maybe coping methods, things that we've done. But plain and simple, you are responsible. Christ set you free. You are free indeed. There is nothing that can bind you. There's nothing that can hold you. There's nothing that can keep you. If you've truly submitted your life to him and allowed him to take over every dark part of you, because there can be no dark in the light. So we have to grow up and be willing to let go things that do not help us grow in Christ. And unfortunately, you are going to lose friends. Oh, no. Some people won't like you on Facebook. It's probably better that way anyways. One less stalker, one less hater, secret hater. We don't need any more of these people. We don't need people that are taking from your fridge. They're taking your finances. They're taking your stuff. They're taking your loved ones. They're taking, or even isolating you from your loved ones. They're taking, just wearing you down. Do you know what happens to people? They end up in mental facilities. They end up in prison. They end up really ruining their lives. They end up on serious drugs. They become so consumed by their hurt and their betrayals. Oh, this one person in the church, nothing but this. I'm never going back to church because this is how these church people are. They're nothing but hypocrites. They're nothing but this. Okay, well, not all are. Some of them are. This is what I'm saying. Some people are not born-again believers. They're not you know, Christ's blood was for everybody, but they're not covered in it. They're very much like everybody else. They're just people trying to hide their guilt and their shame and their dirt. They're trying to hide their dirty hands. Like, they're washing their hands with the blood of Christ. I have no part in this. This is everybody else, and I'm just, you know, I'm just going to, you know, act like nothing's wrong. And we can't do that. We need to stand in the light of truth. We need to let the Lord burn off every part of us that's filthy, dirty, tarnished, stained. There's not going to be no stains. It's white. It's the raiment, the glory of God that is on us and moving through us and trying to work through us. It's God that's working these plans, and you know, it's a mystery to a lot of us. But God wants us to live peacefully with all men. But that doesn't mean that we have to become partners and that we have to submit ourselves to other people or follow things that are not biblical to have actually no part of it. And it's on you to get out of those situations. It's on you to leave these people. Can I tell you, I've left and lost a lot of people. Yes, it does hurt, but right now, I'm praising the Lord all the things that are happening, because I can now see, I can take a step back with eagle eyes, as I said. I can look on a situation as if, you know, I can watch the video of my life in slow motion and see, you know, where was the Lord in this? What was I thinking? You know, what was the devil's plan and all this? You know, you need to be able to step back and reassess your life honestly and be willing to change, be willing to give it to the Lord. Submission. I know a lot of us, we don't like to submit. I never wanted to. I was very proud. And I think that's the fall of mankind, really. That's ultimately where Satan reigns, is in pride and selfishness. So tonight was a good broadcast, and I'm happy to be back. And I hope that this encouraged some people out there. You know who you are, because you probably have that conviction within you. You probably didn't like the stuff that was said, probably, or you could have been one of the people like, oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about there. Whoever's listening, whenever you're listening, this broadcast goes on for as long as the web holds it. I mean, it's there to be shared and re-listened to. It's free to all of you. I'm not asking for anything from any of you. I just want you to learn from the things, you know, learn from my experiences. If you, you know, save yourself the trouble and seek the Lord, just study, meditate in his word. Just practice what you preach. Just do, you know, let your yes be yes. And if you need advice, don't go to your friend who's a fornicator, a partier. What do they know about life? They're in relationships, out of relationships. They might have some wise things to say once in a while. But even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. The Lord can use anybody for whatever purpose. But ultimately, he's saying, come out of there. Don't take part in things that you know you shouldn't be taking part in. Don't hang around with people that are doing things that you don't really enjoy. That's not who you are. Don't be connected to somebody just because, you know, you feel like you're being abused or you're controlled, whether it be religiously controlled or, you know, whether they're relatives or whatever the case is, you can't be controlled. The spirit of the Lord is freedom and, you know, liberty. And the Lord is just. The Lord is for righteousness. The Lord hates liars. The Lord's not for thieves and people who take advantage of the weak or the poor. So with that being said, come back on Monday night, 9 p.m. We're going to have Bible study. We're halfway through Genesis. So hopefully we can get a hold of Felix for then. If not, I will continue. I like it when Felix joins me, but we'll see what we can do. We're definitely regrouping, and we're coming full force with real talk for everybody. You can email us, waywalkersministry@gmail.com. Let us know your stories. Let us know your comments, whatever they may be. If they're good, you know, we can share some of them because we want to grow. We want to grow in the Lord. That's all this is about. This is about reaching out to people and just being real, because the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that's what gets people saved. And also doing, you know, being, walking your talk, and you know the whole deal. If you've been listening for a while, you know what we're about. And if you're new, keep listening and you'll figure it out. Praise God. Jimmy, I'm going to get you to say a prayer, and then we're out of here, and we'll see you Monday 9 p.m.
Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for this broadcast, Lord. We do hope that this broadcast opened the eyes of those who were in the same position as we were at one point. Lord, I do want to pray for those that were mentioned in this broadcast, Lord. I do pray, Lord, that even though we did expose them, and as the Bible rightfully tells us how to expose such a one, I do pray that they are, you know, ultimately restored back to you. If they were believers, if they're not believers, Lord, I do pray for their salvation. I do pray that they would come in and believe, Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't hate these people, Lord Jesus. We do. We would like to see them, you know, come back. And Lord, we do pray that they would. Like I said, Lord, just repent, or if they're not believing, Lord, Lord, send someone to them to bring them to the fold. Lord, bless us tonight. Bless the ones who are listening. Lord, bless their travels, or they're traveling and listening while they're traveling. I do I pray for that as well. I pray for Germany, Lord, as mm-hmm. Lord, there's tons of Syrian refugees coming in. There's just lots of issues going on in Germany, Lord. I do pray that you would come in and your hand would just touch the lives of these people, Lord Jesus. And I do pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right. So it's good to have you all. You have a wonderful night. Lord bless you and just invade your life and lead you more towards Him and the knowledge of His love. And, you know, if you are one of the bad people, there's still hope for you. You're still breathing. So there's still grace for you. There's still mercy for you. Find in the book that the Lord is good and sufficient for your every need. And if you're somebody caught up with a bad guy or a bad gal, then you know that the Lord can give you strength to stand. The Lord can give you boldness to speak. And the Lord can protect you. You know, there's nothing that can stop Him from keeping, like, holding on to you and trying to help you and try to provide for you ways of escape and just covering. You know, He helped so many people since forever, and He's still helping people today. So everyone is without an excuse. And, you know, pray about it, and the Lord will answer you every time. In Jesus' name, you all have a good night. We'll see you Monday night, 9 p.m. God bless.